No list of heroes, however short, no history of Western civilization, however concise, can omit the name of Julius Caesar. The juncture of history which he dominated is as meaningful and dramatic as any in the annals of Europe, and of particular relevance to our own times. We may abhor the ruthlessness by which strong individuals attain sole power, but so demoralized had Rome become during the last century of the Republic, under the selfish sway of an oligarchy, that centralization of authority in the hands of a man willing and able to grasp it was inevitable. It was as leader of the popular party that Caesar rose to eminence, and when he was secure in his authority, he did at least take steps to initiate reforms that were sorely needed. Caesar was born in 102 BC. By 60 BC, he was important enough to enter into an informal triumvirate with Pompey and Crassus, the leading general and the leading millionaire of the day, to control Roman politics. His participation in this triumvirate gave Caesar the command in Gaul for 2 5-year periods, 59 to 54 and 54 to 49 BC. This appointment enabled him to amass wealth and a military reputation, and at the same time to keep in touch with political developments in the capital. By the end of the period, Crassus had died and Pompey grown hostile. To ensure his safety, Caesar needed the consulship for 49, and when permission to stand for the office in absentia was refused him, he took the revolutionary step of crossing the Rubicon, that is, of appearing under arms in territory where he had no official authority to do so. Pompey withdrew the senatorial forces to Greece, and Caesar followed him and defeated him in the Battle of Pharsalus, 48 BC. Other hard campaigns awaited Caesar in Egypt, where he formed an attachment to Cleopatra, and against the remnants of the senatorial forces in North Africa and Spain. He had had only a few months of peace at Rome when he was assassinated on the Ides of March of 44 BC. Aside from his towering political importance, Caesar has legitimate claims as a writer. His poetry and his treatises on astronomy, grammar, politics, and the like have perished. What we have extant are the famous commentaries on the Gallic and the Civil Wars, which have served generations of students as their first Latin reading book. Caesar was the most competent conceivable authority to set forth the details of his own campaigns, but he was also the most nearly concerned to put his actions in the best possible light. The commentaries, then, have something of the motivation of political pamphlets, but they are as admirably objective as they are terse. The author speaks of himself in the third person. Caesar, not I, did this or that, and he never raises his voice in recrimination or self-justification. The conviction of the author's prowess and patriotism grows not out of explicit avowals, but out of the total impression of what is implicit in the whole work. I shall read first the opening of the Gallic Wars, which is one of the most familiar passages in all literature.